true.
Summit County Justice Files.
True stories on the Summit County Justice Files. Your weekly dose of law and order, Summit County style, brought to you by Crystal 93 and the Summit County Sheriff's Office. I'm Tom Fricke from Crystal 93, here with Summit County Sheriff Jamie Fitzsimons, and we're here to inform and educate and engage with our community.
Yeah, but now before we get started, just a quick disclaimer. The Justice Files excludes some of the more serious and sensitive offenses, as well as an ongoing investigations that could jeopardize prosecution. And of course, everyone accused of a crime is presumed innocent until proven guilty in a court of law.
Crime may not pay, but it sure makes for some interesting stories here on the Justice Files. So buckle up as we dive into the latest criminal activity and the lessons learned. And yes, more than just a few moments of law enforcement levity, because while justice is serious business, a little humor never hurt anyone, unless, of course, it was a crime of bad jokes. Let's get into it. Let's talk about the breaking news this week, the late breaking news. A lot of things going on in Summit County, like all at once, all in one day.
All in one afternoon.
Yeah.
Yeah, one late afternoon in Summit County. Just another day in Summit
just
County.
Just another day. Well, let's hope there aren't too many more days like this. Start out with a crime. There was a burglary that started everything.
Yeah, it started out as a burglary here in Breckenridge, in the unincorporated part of Breckenridge, where a neighbor saw someone in a second home on their street that they knew no one should be in. And here comes this character walking out on the driveway with a ski mask on and some items, carrying some items, putting into a car and driving off. So this vigilant neighbor thought, I should probably call 911.
Good idea.
And did so. You know, by the time the cops, by the time the deputies saw this, you know, observed this car again, it was on its way to Frisco, which is a town just north here of Breckenridge, and got behind this car and tried to follow it to get it stopped. And this person just took off in the car. Eluded deputies for a while until they found it in a neighborhood here in a town of Frisco. You know, the thing, like, I know this is a podcast, but like TV where the doors fly open and engines running and, you know, but there's nobody there. So this person had taken off and fled and was in the wind hiding from the cops. You know, we initiated a ground search that lasted probably a couple hours along with new technology, right? Drones. So we had a drone up in the air looking for this guy too. And we were unsuccessful last night looking for him. And then so all of a sudden this morning, we get a phone call from someone in one of the Frisco town neighborhoods saying that they just found someone sleeping in their car wearing a ski mask. And they pulled the guy out of the car and told him to hit the road and then realized, maybe I should call 911.
Again, good idea.
So it turns out that this is our guy. I mean, the Frisco cops show up and catch this guy, and it turns out to be our guy from last night. He had chosen, after he hid and the cops went home, he got into a car that he found the door unlocked to and decided that he would sleep there overnight because it snowed last night.
Several inches in some places, and it got cold.
Several inches of snow. In fact, it's snowing as we're doing this podcast on May 1st.
Right.
But anyways, he's in custody now. This is an ongoing investigation. This car he was in was stolen out of the Denver, you know, the greater Denver area. This car and this person is tied to a number of other burglaries in the Denver area, not up here, that we're aware of yet. But this is still an active case, but it's good that we were able to finally put the guy into custody and now start working this case. So detectives are busy processing, or I should say our evidence technicians are busy processing the car, working with detectives of these other burglaries to see what kind of loot they're looking for. And our detectives will continue to work this case. So, you know, we'll see if we can hopefully we'll solve all these burglaries. And hopefully we don't discover any more that have happened here that we weren't aware of.
And while this chase was going on yesterday, there is another call that comes into the Summit County Sheriff's Office about a dead body.
Yeah, he was floating in the lake. You know, we've covered this many times over the years, you and I, about people floating in the lake or missing in the lake. This person, we got a call as this other call was wrapping up with this burglary suspect running. We got a call of some people on the shore of Lake Dillon. There's a disc golf course there, and these kids were playing, two juveniles were playing disc golf and noticed someone floating up onto the shore that was not alive. So they called 911.
Again, a good idea.
So everyone rushed from one scene to the other here, and now we're rushing to the shores of Lake Dillon. And this is a fully clothed male that literally washed up on the shore. Now, you and I know, Tom, for the listeners, that Lake Dillon is just breaking up. The ice is coming off. It looked from first sight that this person probably, I'm taking some wild guesses here, was probably buried under several feet of snow on the lake all winter. And as the lake has broken up now, and there aren't any boat, there's no boat activity on the lake yet, so no one came across this person in a boat, and he eventually floated to shore, still sort of some ice still on him, ice and snow.
So when do we solve the mystery as to who it is or who it was, when they disappeared, where they're from, and all that stuff?
So as we do here in Colorado, according to state law, the dead body was turned over to the coroner. The coroner is the one that now that does the autopsy or has the autopsy performed. Well, they'll run a number of tests. They'll also fingerprint, try to ID this person. We'll begin searching missing persons files. We'll put them through the big computer system and find out if there's anybody. First of all, if there's a fingerprint match. If not, maybe a DNA match. Or some other way of identifying this person. And we'll work through those hoops. Our detectives will work this case too. And eventually we'll identify this person. The good news is, initially when we pull someone out of the water like that and we're working with the coroner's office, we look for initial signs of trauma, obvious bullet wound or knife wound or some sort of trauma. And there was none of that apparent. So that's some good news. So we'll have to see what happens here. Stay tuned to the Justice Files podcast for an update on both of these cases.
Meanwhile, the lake was officially thawed. I saw open water where the ice melt device formerly was on the ice. So that's in the water. And that when that goes in, it's officially thawed.
It's officially thawed.
Yeah.
I know it's snowing outside right now, but before the end of this month, the sheriff's office will have boats in the water. So it's an exciting time for us because to us it signals a change in the seasons.
And we'll see water levels increase. Right now, kind of low on Lake Dillon.
Yeah.
A lot of shoreline exposed, but that's always going to fill up as the snow melts.
Yeah, and Denver Water tells us that it's expected to fill and flow over the Glory Hole and down into the Blue. And hopefully the rafters will have a rafting season down below the dam.
That'd be fun.
Yeah, you being one of them.
Yes, indeed.
What are we talking about? You being one of them.
I've already had some friends talking to me about, hey, when are we going boating?
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it's coming soon.
Yeah, it's a 10-mile first, right? 10 miles where you'll go first.
Could be, or the Arkansas, or the Upper Colorado, or it depends on what's flowing.
Was there
first.
Any snow down there this year?
Yeah, there was. And let's hope it doesn't all melt at once.
At the same time?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
This is the Summit County Justice Files. I'm Tom Fricke from Crystal 93 with Summit County Sheriff Jamie Fitzsimons. We are in the Summit County Justice Center in the Sheriff's Office. And back to the Justice Files. Other items to talk about today. A man was contacted by deputies after getting stuck in snow on a seasonally closed road in the Tiger Road area.
Yeah, we've talked about incidents like this before where people, follow their... whether it's their navigation system in their car or a route they know during the summer, and they start to take a road that, like right now, as you and I know, that just like the lake, some of these roads are thawing, and some of the trails are thawing, but we're still getting people stuck in cars. We're getting people stuck post-holing hiking. People are just getting stuck.
Those roads and trails are not quite yet ready.
No. What's interesting about this person is... as we got talking to him and we ran the license plate on his car, did the normal stuff that we do before as we interact with someone, it was discovered that we had been in contact with this gentleman before and his vehicle on the exact same road near the spot we ran into him last year when he was also stuck in axle-deep snow.
Last year at about the same time.
Same time, same road, almost the same place. So we, after we politely helped him out of the snow and got his car out, we quickly wrote him a ticket and said, see you next time, same place, same time next year, same road.
Set the appointment in the calendar. See you next year.
Oh, my God.
Now, the next item, I didn't know that SiriusXM, the satellite radio provider,
yeah,
that they can do some reporting and track down vehicles, and I guess it's more of a Big Brother item than I thought it was.
Yeah, you know, in some of these cars, including, I know this is, for instance, in my police vehicle as well, my sheriff's vehicle, that SiriusXM, there are, there are emergency buttons in the car that you can hit, and it goes through, in this case, SiriusXM. And why we take these serious, and we always talk about, Tom, you and I, about resource deployment and, you know, how scarce resources are. But when our weather is still like this and we still have snow on the ground and it's getting below freezing at night and it's still snowing, blah, blah, blah. When we get one of these alerts, we take it very serious and we try to, you know, we have to try to locate this vehicle. So, you know, we locate it through, Latin long, and we usually... We're, especially in today's world technology, we're 99.9% successful in finding said vehicle, as we did in this case. Luckily for us on this one, it was unoccupied. We didn't find the owner, but there was an audible alarm from inside going off too, alerting that this SOS button had been pushed. So it may have been as the person was getting out of the car, they hit a button. Who knows? But the reason I highlight this story is that... even these accidental SOS notifications, and we talk about them sometimes when they're in the backcountry and it's a backcountry user hitting one. We also get them in cars, and we get them in the weirdest places. And especially now as things are thawing out and seasonal roads are not officially opened, there's a lot of people out there testing the roads.
That shouldn't be.
That shouldn't be. That shouldn't be.
They just should not be.
Just wait another month?
Probably before things start to really thaw out. But yeah, it's going to be at least June before some of the roads are accessible, and sometimes July.
You would think that we're talking about Fargo, North Dakota or something. This is Breckenridge, Colorado.
And some of the elevations we're talking about are between 10 and 12,000 feet above sea level.
Right. We're almost at 10 here in the valley. I mean... And everything is up from here.
Uh-huh.
You know, when we talk about mountain biking here or skiing, I mean, it's all you're gaining altitude.
There's a lot of elevation involved.
Yes. Yes, indeed.
Indeed. Summit County Justice Files.
Lots of people getting high. In elevation.
More ways than one. Oh. Yeah. More ways than one. Domestic violence incident. A man called for help after he and his wife had got into an argument that escalated. What happened with this one?
Yeah, you know, this is one of those domestic violence situations with a couple that had been arguing for some time. Alcohol, of course, is involved. And what's interesting about this one is these two had gotten into a struggle inside the house, and during this struggle, the woman notices that there's a bear on the driveway trying to break into a car, her car. God. You know, this is almost like changing the channel, right? Alerts her husband, who she's in the middle of a struggle with, that there's a bear trying to break into the car. He runs.
Don't change the subject. We're talking about something I don't care about. Don't change the subject.
Don't change the subject. Or you can't get me to look outside.
Right.
But lo and behold, there was a bear trying to break. We do live in the mountains. It is spring to the animals. There was a bear trying to break into the car. He runs out to chase the bear. She slams the door behind him, deadbolts it, thinking that she's locked now two bears out of the house. But the human bear decides he's going to kick the door in to get back in, and obviously destroys the door, destroys some other things in the house. Deputies get there. Bear's up in the tree. Bear's safe. I'm not sure if the bear was running because he was afraid this guy was chasing him, or just running because that's what bears do. They run up trees. But Yeah, the house was destroyed. A person was taken into custody, and the bear and the woman are both safe.
All right. Very good. It's good to hear some fine news about our wildlife. It is.
Did you say wild wife?
Wild wife. Oh. Wild life. Wild wife. It's all wild in Summit County, including a road rage incident that escalated into a hit and run when the driver of a van illegally used the right turn lane to pass an SUV, cutting off the SUV and forcing the driver to slam on the brakes. There's a lot of visitors coming to Summit County, and they make last-minute decisions when they're driving, and a lot of people just have to be aware of that.
You know, I got to tell you that every week, the more we talk about these reckless drivers, the road rage incidents, I'm like, you know, we really do have a lot of road rage incidents here.
Well,
it's
there's
crazy.
A lot of people here.
a lot of people, trying to get, I don't know where they're trying to get in a hurry. You're supposed to be here, like,
it's supposed to be
enjoying the outdoors.
Yeah, you're supposed to be just chilling in the mountains.
Right?
Not on some urgent schedule. But apparently.
Yeah, this one went on and on and on. I mean, it went on and on and on. And eventually, one of these cars getting to the point where they rammed the other car. And once they rammed them, then they broke off and went. It was kind of like one of those, oh, my God, did I just hit that car? I mean, I know we were chasing each other, but maybe I took this too far.
Whoopsie.
Freaked out and turned around and took off. So now it becomes a hit and run. Now it's not just a reckless driving. We did end up finding them both, and we did end up citing the driver for reckless driving. So, but, you know, I mean, this endangers. I mean, we sit here and kind of chuckle about it, but these incidents are really dangerous incidents, and especially on mountain roads, and especially, you know, with our, you know, weather. You know, we're still spring, tail end of winter. I don't know what we're in Mayuary.
It's spring.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's spring.
So we're in spring, but, you know, like we talked about today, it's been snowing. It was snowing all night. It was snowing all day. The roads are not good. And our weather, what do they say in Colorado? If you don't like the weather, wait 10 minutes. Our weather changes so fast that these things become really dangerous. And there are a lot of people out on the road that are being endangered by reckless drivers. So we're going to continue to combat this.
Will there be any more sheriff's patrols or law enforcement to combat some reckless driving?
Well, you know, we, along with other law enforcement partners here in the county, and along with Colorado State Patrol, when we're not going to floating bodies in the lake and people burglarizing homes, that sounds horrible, doesn't it? We do patrol the highways, and we do traffic enforcement. We do actually directed enforcement. We'll concentrate on an area, but it's like anything else. It's once people see you're in the area, that problem seems to go away until you leave the area, and then it comes back. So, I mean, it's a game of cat and mouse, whack-a-mole.
Do you ever think about doing something like the town of Alma does and put an unoccupied squad car on the main drag with maybe a dummy in the seat?
Yeah. You know what's funny is that too is effective for a minute.
Well, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Sure.
You know, I've been in places that do it, or I've visited other towns that do it. Uh-huh. And if you don't, like, dust off the car once a day or take the trash that someone's thrown on the windshield away, people go, hey, wait a minute. It doesn't look like that car's been driven in a year. You know, it's caked in dirt and leaves and McDonald's wrappings. So, I mean, yes, but it does take some attention to detail to be successful. It's like when we put up speed trailers all the time, when weather permitting, roads permitting, mostly in the summer. But when we put up, the reason why we move them around so much is people get sign fatigue. You know, people see that flashing speed limit sign, and you know, after a while you drive by it and someone goes, didn't you see that sign? And you're like, well, what sign?
Sorry I missed it, Sheriff.
Sorry I missed it.
Yep.
So,
well, keep on doing what
keep
you
on
can
keeping on
to keep on the road and keep safe on the road. And that's the main thing. I mean, just, you know, avoid that whole road rage thing if you can.
Just don't go on the road.
It's
public
home.
Transportation.
Yeah. Ride your bike.
Ride your bike. Oh, wait a minute. But if there's cars,
oh, well,
there's trouble.
Yeah.
If they're driving with bad behavior and you're on a bike, good luck.
It's not a good thing at all. Stay off the roads.
Because that season's coming too. Are we a biker's calling, going, this guy, Tom Fricke, was driving like a maniac down Highway 9.
Meanwhile, we're still in the transition of seasons from winter into springtime, and there's still a lot of snow in the mountains.
Yes.
Search and rescue got called again.
Yeah, you know, this is another run. This is two different incidents last week where we got called out to the same place on the same day, which is Quandary Peak, which we've talked about before on the Justice File podcast, which is one of our 14ers. That people, what happens is they... Like many trails right now, they go out early when the snow is firm, and by the time they turn around and come back, the snow is now soft, and you fall literally through it until you get stopped by your crotch. And this is what happened here, where, again, people were post-holing in really deep snow to the point where one of them lost a shoe, and that's when it becomes a problem. Like when someone loses their shoe and now their feet are freezing, their socks are wet, hyperthermia can slip in, even though it's spring. So these are the dangers of not effectively going and getting them in a quick manner. But we were. And since this incident, we have incidents every day of this post-holing. It seems to be a trend this season.
Do you got to get that? That's okay. It's important. Okay, you don't have to get that. Let it go to voicemail.
Voicemail.
Very nice. Well, let's talk about these SOS signals that people seem to think they saw.
Yeah, this is an interesting one. We get these all year long, but this one is real, truly a winter one. But usually what happens is, on all of our higher peaks, as you just talked about, people hike literally year-round, around the clock. And often we get hikers at night, after dark, wee hours of the morning, that hike with headlamps on. And people just see a headlamp, and as they're zigzagging down a switchback, they say that they see a blinking light. And they don't realize it's because the person's turning their head.
And they're going behind trees.
They're going behind trees. They're going down a switchback.
Right.
They're going behind a rock. But in the winter, it's interesting that up on Peak 8, which is one of our ski area, our ski mountains, someone, of course, saw someone with they thought was an SOS signal, and it turns out just to be the groomers grooming the runs.
Well, I'm glad they weren't asking for help.
But again, what you know, this is, a resource suck that happens quite often, and that people don't realize that the resources, because again, we treat every incident, especially these ones that are called out in the backcountry, like they're real. So, I mean, we stand up, we get people ready to go search for people that are on a distress signal on a mountain, and it turns out it's only a groomer.
But sometimes it can be an actual person.
It can be, yes.
Like an instance where an injured skier near Francie's cabin had to be rescued.
Yeah, so Francie's, as you know, Tom, is one of our Hike 2 cabins out here, part of the cabin system, which offers great year-round recreation for hikers, for skiers, for everything. And where Francie's is, you know, there is some great skiing behind Francie's cabin. And this skier, again, this is spring skiing, so you know you're taking a risk with some of the spring skiing even up high. This is a skier that had been skiing back there, and there's no easy way to get up there, as you know. I mean, it's a really narrow trail up there, but he had been skiing up there behind the cabin up in the mountains, and snapped his leg. His leg got stuck skiing and just snapped it in
wow.
the spring snow, and I mean. Snapped it. Like they said, this guy was in tremendous pain. We use Flight for Life helicopters to evacuate injured people all the time out of the backcountry. I mean, they are a resource to us that is just irreplaceable and saves countless lives every year. This is one of those situations where one helicopter was in Denver and another was down, and it was at the time they thought like an hour, 2 hour ETA to get a helicopter back there, when it's usually, as you know, for us out of Frisco here, it's minutes.
Right.
It's literally faster than a ground ambulance. I mean, they can be on scene fast. So our search and rescue team, along with our special operations deputies that we talk about all the time, our special operations team that have one of the best jobs, if they do everything they do is law enforcement in the backcountry. It's all on skis, snowmobiles, bikes, motorcycles, boats, ATVs.
They get all the toys.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I can't even name the toys. There's so many. But they made some quick work of it and put together a rescue operation where they were going to do it on snowmobiles and get to them and try to evacuate them out that way. And by the time they got to them, luckily the helicopter, one of the two helicopters, had responded, and they were able to get them there, get them in the helicopter quickly, even though it's a long time to be sitting there with a leg that's literally snapped in half. But they got him out to the hospital, and you know, hopefully he's recovering now. But it's how quickly it can turn, right? Nice adventure in the backcountry,
right,
staying in the cabin with friends,
a nice little hut trip, and have some fun,
yeah.
Do some spring powder, and all of a sudden it turns wrong.
Yeah, you know, and this is, you know, with these cabin adventures, backcountry cabins, you know, both local and visitor alike use these cabins all the time and do this, where you stay at the cabin for a couple of nights, you ski like crazy all day long. It's really good backcountry skiing, and then you just go crash at the cabin. You don't have to come all the way out of the woods. It provides that opportunity. So it's really unfortunate when you have a trip that turns tragic like this one.
Some guys are trying to hike to the section house on Boreas Pass, which is right outside of Breckenridge. They got stuck. Needed a little rescue.
Yeah, so Boreas Pass, where these guys got rescued. You know, Boreas Pass is part of the famous railroad that used to come down into Breckenridge.
Over to Como.
And that's where you made that reference to the section house. This is also part of the hut experience. It's one of the huts up here. And people all the time, all winter long, well, all year round, hike, bike, ski, snowmobile to the set. Well, they don't snowmobile because it's closed. We snowmobile up there to rescue people.
Right. But hopefully not too often.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
But this is another one of those tragic ones where these people had a weekend planned up there, and they started hiking just before dark, and it was a little late in the afternoon, and they got probably halfway to the section house, which is a good few miles, and they started post-holing and got stuck. It was a group of them, and so we got to drive one of our other toys up there, which is a tracked. So we have UTV, a utility vehicle, and then we track it during the winter. We put snow tracks on there, and we're able to drive that thing. There's nowhere you can't drive that thing, but it worked really well on something like this, where it's an old railroad track, where it's a dirt road that's now buried in snow. And it's a big enough vehicle where we can pile enough people in there and rescue them all at once, rather than go out there, rescue one, bring them back. So, I mean, with the advent of tools like this, I mean, it's really a game changer for both the person we're rescuing and for the rescuers. We can get them out quicker, and we can get to them and get out quicker.
So who decides who gets the toys? Some county search and rescue group or the sheriff's office? Or do you guys just coordinate together and kind of share toys?
We do coordinate together. In Colorado, search and rescue is the responsibility of the sheriff. So I am, by state law, I am responsible for the coordination of search and rescues in my county. So we have an excellent relationship with our search and rescue team. I support them 150% for what they do. And so, yes, my deputies, aside from search and rescue, also have all of these toys, because sometimes we can do a rescue quicker than we can assemble a bunch of volunteers, depending on the rescue. So that's the only reason, Tom, for the duplication of toys.
But you basically have to be ready to go over any kind of terrain
at any time of the year. Yeah, and so now, as you know, spring, some of our guys will have ATVs on trailers ready to pull in case it's a dirt road, but we also have our snowmobiles in the back of the trucks in case it's a snow road. So, I mean, this time of year, they're towing around a lot of equipment.
What about that old Sheriff's Department hovercraft? Is that still around? Did you finally take that out of service?
Last year was its final voyage.
It retired. Okay.
We have repaired, glued. We have done so much to put that thing back together over the years. and versus the use we get out of it. Yeah. The use we really got out of it was launching that ice melt device that you talked about,
right,
on the lake for our Rotary Club. And that's really what it became. Like, this is part of the show. You know, yeah, we put it out there. It's really cool. Someone gets to ride in it with a deputy and deploy the ice melt device. But yeah, it met its, it had seen, I think, I want to say when we got it 30 years ago, it was already 20 years old.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's old.
You just don't find a new hovercraft around these days.
It's old like us, Tom.
Yes. Finally retired, but we're not yet.
We're not.
No.
We're still here doing the Justice Files.
The Summit County Justice Files. I'm Tom Fricke with Crystal 93 and talking with Summit County Sheriff Jamie Fitzsimons. We get to visit on the radio, on Crystal 93 radio in Summit County on Thursday mornings at about 7:45, and visit for a couple of minutes for some highlights, but here on the Justice Files, we get to dig a little deeper. Tell me about this theft in Keystone that was reported.
Yeah, you know, we have, I would say, well, year-round, but really early and late season, we do have reoccurrences of theft of really expensive ski gear. Mm-hmm. And just like we tell people, lock your cars, lock your homes, we also tell people, you know, somehow protect your skis. Put some identifying numbers on them. Don't leave them outside your house. You know, during the summer with mountain bikes, we get people that leave mountain bikes locked or unlocked on the back of bike carriers on their cars. So we also get people that are staying in some of these condos in different places where they leave snowboards and skis. And they think, well, as long as it's outside my front door, it's safe. No one's going to come take it from my porch. So this is one of those ones where someone had left it in the hallway of an apartment complex thinking nothing would happen and called the sheriff's office because came home and, gee, guess what? The snowboard's gone.
Wow.
But luckily for this guy, it was some thoughtful neighbors that actually took it in because they didn't want it to get stolen.
Oh, good.
Yeah. But the reason I highlighted here in the Justice Files is to remind people, like, those days are gone. You can't leave bikes, trikes, toys, snow equipment, snowboards, skis, you name it. Don't leave it outside.
Lock it up. Make sure it's secure.
Lock it.
Put it in a safe space.
Or check with your neighbors.
Well, yeah, that's always a good thing, too. Lost dogs. That happens a lot in Summit County.
Yeah.
And it happened again recently.
Yeah, this was a good one I wanted to highlight for a couple reasons. This is one where it was at a car accident where witnessed the actual car accident on the highway saw a dog get ejected out of the car, literally ejected. Like you hear about people getting ejected without a seatbelt. Well, here was a dog, not in a seatbelt or restrained in any way. They got ejected, and then what dogs mostly do in situations like they take off.
Right.
We have this really cool nonprofit organization here in Summit County called the Summit Lost Pet Rescue. In fact, one of the founders of it is one of our search and rescue members. So it only figures that he's devoted his life to rescuing people, and now he's devoted his life to rescuing animals. But they do some amazing work. And the reason I bring this up is this is an example of they set up what they call a scent station. So they get something that, like if it was you and your dog, they'd get something that belongs to you, like a sweatshirt you're wearing, and they would put it out somewhere near where the accident happened for the dog to come back to the scent. And in this case, it worked like magic. The dog eventually came back to the scent station that they set up, and they were actually able to recapture this dog and give it back to its owner. Now, what's remarkable is now this is just in Summit County, right? So I looked at some of their numbers. You know, as I told you, Summit Lost Pet Rescue, it's an animal protection and welfare organization that locates lost pets and reunites them. Since 2020, I thought this was phenomenal. 1,100 lost pets were found and reunited with owners in Summit County.
That's just Summit County? 1,100?
Yes, in the last 5 years. 895 dogs, 208 cats. I know. We see. I know this is a podcast and not TV, but if people can see our faces. It's like jaw, like it's just amazing. What?
Hang on, I want to pick my jaw up off the table here. Like unbelievable.
Isn't that crazy? That's why I captured that. I mean, 1,100 lost pets have been reunited with Summit County residents.
Awesome. And the name of the nonprofit again?
It's Summit Lost Pet Rescue. They're a nonprofit. They run solely on donations. Sort of like our rescue group runs on donations. But this is their focus. They obviously find lost animals. And there are so many stories, because obviously I know one of the founders. There are so many incredible stories about how, you know, everyone had given up hope on this animal. And sometimes it's hours, sometimes it's days, weeks, sometimes it's months later. They always find these animals. It's just incredible.
If you're looking for a great nonprofit organization to make a donation to, these guys would
Lost Pet Rescue, Summit County, Colorado.
Yep, there we go.
And there it is.
Help out a great organization that's doing some great help for Summit County locals. Well, there's a hit and run incident, local ski area. Did this happen in a parking lot by chance?
This happened in that's shocking. It happened in a parking lot of a local ski area. What's great about this is like the movies, right, where you see the car go forward, hit a car, go back, hit a car, go forward, hit a car, go back. And there's people watching this. And eventually the guy bumps his way out of the parking space and takes off. Right? Literally back and forth, back and forth. This is like when you see a car getting stuck and they're going, go forward, go back. Well, but now imagine each time they're hitting a car. So they eventually get out and take off. Deputies ended up finding this guy. Lo and behold, he smelled like alcohol and failed sobriety tests. And when they gave him a blood alcohol test, his blood alcohol content was more than twice the legal limit. Wow. Twice. So no wonder he was doing this. So needless to say, he ended up in the Summit County Detention Facility on several charges, including DUI, reckless driving, and leaving the scene of an accident that he caused.
Another DUI on this story that came after a welfare check.
But if you think about this one we just talked about.
Yeah.
So this is after he had been skiing on the mountain all day drinking.
Right.
Endangering other skiers. Oh, and violating the law. We have no way to prove it, but I mean, if he's leaving the ski area.
You kind of know. Yeah. You would make an assumption that way.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Yeah.
So what happened with this welfare check that led to the DUI?
Yeah, so this welfare check, deputies responded to this residence to check on the welfare of a woman that was screaming outside of this house. The landlord explained to the deputies that she had been yelling and screaming in her bedroom, disturbing him and his wife. This is obviously a renter in their house. On contact, the woman was clearly intoxicated, clearly. But, you know, she did the, I'm not driving, I'm staying here, and, oh, I'm not talking to you guys anymore. I'm going in and bug off. I guess we shouldn't say anything, but bug off.
Yeah.
Right? Having done one of these, or two, or three, or four, or many over someone's career, these deputies were smart enough to go, something tells me she's not going to stay in her house. You know, so they were in the area. They came back and checked and found her car running. No one outside. Her car was running. No one answered the door, of course. They went back. The deputies went back to their vehicle, turned this vehicle off. And lo and behold, moments later, here comes this woman driving the car down the wrong side of the road, out the driveway of this place. So they stopped her, obviously. The car was, they had just seen the car, remember, but now the car was littered with empty alcohol bottles. She was extremely intoxicated, could barely stay on her feet, slurring her words. She obviously was also arrested and brought to the Summit County Detention Facility for DUI open containers. It's amazing how people just don't think before they get in a car.
Well, especially if you had some influence of alcohol or other substances. Yeah. Never leads to a good outcome.
Oh,
never.
My God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Summit County dispatchers, man, these people do an incredible piece of work,
don't
for,
they?
Summit
they
County.
Do.
I mean, they just, they're vigilant, they're on it, and they take care of, well, getting the word out to the Summit County Sheriff's Office and other law enforcement agencies that need to be alerted in the proper way. Sometimes they get some calls that are very interesting. And one of these days on the podcast, we're talking about this. We're going to find some of these 911 calls, some of these Summit dispatch calls, and we're going to be able to share them with
you. Yeah, we're going to play them.
Yeah,
for sure.
So stay tuned in the coming podcasts. But
with some inserts.
Yes.
Radio call inserts.
Oh, man, that'll be
it's
fun.
It'll be cool.
Yeah. Meanwhile,
this one would have been a good one, the one you're about to talk
about. Yeah, it would have been a suspicious call. Talk about that.
Yeah, this is a... You know, again, this is one of these, we're mentioning it because this happens. This is someone that calls dispatch and is just screaming expletives and just making no sense, being crazy on the phone, and would not communicate directly with him, was just screaming and yelling in the background. Obviously, that draws some concern, especially when they can't resolve the call on the phone. So what they'll do is, this case, it was a phone. They plot the phone to where it's coming from through GPS technology. Deputies have to go check on somebody's welfare like this. And this is one of these ones where the deputies get to the door, and this person, again, is screaming and yelling expletives, telling the deputies to go, and only communicating through a Ring camera.
Oh.
Only. So he's watching them on camera and communicating through the speaker, but will not open his door, will not come to them. Obviously, there was not enough circumstances for the deputies to, you know, force entry in there. He was obviously alive and speaking and able to care for himself. Just decided he was going to be crazy and called 911 repeatedly. But these things happen. And, you know, when there's no criminal activity suspected, our hands are kind of tied. And no, you know, there's no evidence of anything else going on. You know what I mean? Just that someone's crazy, having a bad night, and guess what? You're allowed to be in your house, being crazy and having a bad night. You know, all we can do is offer them resources through the door, and if you need us and you need some help, please call us.
Is there any situation where you're on with a Ring camera person, but they're not on the premises? Because you can pretty much hook up with those anywhere you can get an internet connection, right?
Yeah, no, we've had those too. Just like we've talked about here on the podcast, where people will call in saying, I'm in my home in, you know, a different state, and I'm watching people on my driveway.
Right.
Well, the same thing, where just like this, people can do it from anywhere.
But you knew that this guy was on premises.
Either, you know, we're listening for noises through the door, okay. We're looking for lights on, we're looking for a car in the driveway, we're looking for, you know, proof of life, so that we're not just talking to a speaker. But it would be kind of funny if you found out you were, you know, you spent 20 minutes on this call and you all of a sudden realize, you know what, there's nobody here.
This guy's in Texas.
We're talking to a guy on a speaker. Yeah, I wouldn't, you know what, if it's happened, no one's admitted to it, but right. I'm sure, I'm confident it's probably happened. It's funny. It's funny you bring that up.
Summit County Justice Files. I'm Tom Fricke with Summit County Sheriff Jamie Fitzsimons, and we do have some closed cases to talk about on the Justice Files today.
Yeah, our criminal investigation section, our detectives, you know, we talk about some of these closed cases because it's interesting to bring, you know, some follow-up, some closure, some of these cases we talk about on the podcast. We're always talking about these frauds. These frauds are happening worldwide. You know, certainly Summit County is not immune to these, but it's always good when we catch somebody and we're able to prove a case and make an arrest. This was not an internet-based fraud. This was a construction fraud. So someone comes to your, you know, you're looking for some work. You look on the internet. You look on your phone. You ask Siri. Somehow a contractor comes to your door, and they give you a bid for some work. They tell you they want 50% down or whatever it is. You negotiate. You give them that money, and it's the last you ever see of them. So this guy had gone around Summit County and taken money from a few people in Summit County and outside of Summit County. But here to the tune of $15,000.
All under the guise of being a contractor?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
And not performing any work.
Right.
We were able to find this person. We were able to identify them, find them, and arrest them for felony theft because of the threshold of the amount of money that was taken. And what's neat about this one, at least for our detectives, and certainly me as the sheriff, is the victims that were involved in this case sent a really nice letter to our detectives thanking them, saying that, you know, you never hear a happy ending to these frauds when people are defrauded.
Right.
They always get away with it. And the fact that our detectives were so dogged in their pursuit of this suspect that these victims took the time to write a letter and write a letter to the court saying that how grateful they are to the Summit County Sheriff's Office detectives for solving this crime. So, you know, $15,000 may not be a lot of money to a lot of people, but to a lot of people, that's all their money.
So was any of that stolen money recovered and sent back to victims?
You know, I'm sure through the court case it'll get ordered in what they call restitution.
Yeah.
But that's just like winning a civil lawsuit where you hope to recover that money. I doubt the guy had $15,000 cash on him to pay his victims back. But, you know, they felt good that justice, as far as they felt, was served. This guy will go to jail. He will do some time behind this. And hopefully he will pay his restitution.
Violation of a protection order in April of 2024. Stalking issue. What happened on this story?
Yeah, this one was interesting. This one was interesting because this guy, you know, you hear about stalkers, you hear about protection orders. Lots of people get them for lots of things, not just stalking, but protection orders. And people violate these protection orders all the time. What people don't realize is that there are some really serious stalkers out there that really do cause harm and really do harass their victims. And in this case, this suspect had a protection order prohibiting him from contacting this woman. He went as far as to get a burner phone to continue to violate the protection order and stalk and harass her. So whenever we're able to identify, arrest, and prove a case like this, successfully prove and prosecute a case like this, it always feels good. It feels good to us because we're sworn to protect and serve, and it feels good to a victim like this. And it also serves to warn this guy that you can go get a burner phone, but we're still going to find you. So it was a great case worth highlighting, that sometimes justice is served.
Let's talk about the assault instance at the end of March of 2025, just a couple of months ago. The reporting party victim said that he was drunk with friends and the suspect was hitting him. Oh, what happened?
Yeah, I don't know if you remember. You and I talked about this on the Justice Files.
Yeah, I do vaguely remember
this
one. This
is the one where the guy paid his friend to work on his car.
Right.
And he claimed that his friend didn't pay him.
Yeah.
And they got into a fight, a strangling contest, a fight. And this guy swore that he was strangled and that the suspect, you know, beat him and there was this fight. And, you know, he was the poor innocent victim. So what's interesting is that, you know, in a case like this, especially where someone's claiming something being strangled like this, we will take them to the hospital to get what they call a forensic nurse examination, an FNE examination. And it's a nurse that actually specializes in these forensic examinations and then takes photos to document their findings and then writes their findings once they figure it out. And what's interesting about this one is that, you know, once you know, it was a he said, as we talked about originally on the Justice Files. This guy was so adamant that we got this forensic examination done. And the forensic examination proved that it didn't happen. There was no physical evidence.
Nothing.
That the other guy was telling the truth, like nothing happened. He just went to get his money and that's it. And that the other guy was lying, probably not to pay him. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it's interesting that, you know, in this world of forensics, you know what I mean? That we're able to take a case like this and take it to the end and have it forensically, you know, forensically analyzed. And for the forensics come back going, Yeah, there was no evidence of a fight here, a struggle. There was no physical harm done here. So there was not enough, you know, at the end for us, what that means is there's not enough evidence to prove it either way. It's what we call an unfounded case, where we can't prove it, a crime happened. We can't prove a crime didn't happen. It's just unfounded.
So you just have to walk away from something.
You just
got to
walk away from it. And then we always tell the people, unless you come across some other evidence related to this incident, that now, you know, steps it up and proves the case. But yeah, I just thought it was interesting because we had talked about this on the Justice Files, and it was at the time we talked about that it was being forensically examined, and we were waiting for the results of that exam, and we got them, and it came back that can't prove it.
Lesson learned, go somewhere else to get your car serviced instead of having your neighbor do it.
Wait a minute. You don't go to your neighbor that just happens to have greasy, dirty hands and go, do you work on cars?
Hey.
Let me give you some money. Yeah.
Not so much a good idea. No. Unless you know the person really well and trust them and they're your good friend that you won't try to beat up or allege that you beat up. Hey,
this is one of those things probably where, like usual, right? Like, you think you're getting a deal because you're paying cash and you're paying half as much as you would somewhere else.
Sure.
Nothing's for free.
And the good deals usually aren't.
Oh, God. Oh.
Well, Summit County Sheriff Jamie Fitzsimons, thank you so much. That's a wrap for this week's Summit County Justice Files. I'm Tom Fricke with Summit County Sheriff Jamie Fitzsimons. And remember, knowledge is power, and a little laughter along the way doesn't hurt either.
Yeah, and just so we're clear again, our coverage doesn't include every crime. We leave out most serious and sensitive cases, and all suspects are presumed innocent. They're presumed innocent until proven guilty in a court of law. With that said, my friends, stay safe, stay informed, and if you're thinking about committing a crime, well, maybe don't. It never ends well, and you might just end up as our next feature.
You can also read the Summit County Justice Files on the Summit County Sheriff's Office website. Check them out online at summitsheriffcolorado.gov. Until next time, this is the Summit County Justice Files, where law meets laughs and justice always has the final say. As always, Summit County Sheriff Jamie Fitzsimons, thank you for your service.
Thank you, Tom.